Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's Calm Buddhas and Butterflies, working with transformation of anger. And that natural, healthy role of anger is to move, to create momentum. Anger carries such rich potency, and in particular for the estrogen-laden beings, those of us who are bathed in that biology, we have a tendency to often, in our current culture, suppress that because we're told that it's not okay, that it's unacceptable for that energy to be present or to be expressed in the ways that we might just spontaneously do it. And ironically, the other half, the testosterone-laden beings, that tends to be their go-to emotion. And that's the one that's considered to be the acceptable emotion, the only acceptable emotion to be expressed. So I think that this is really rich territory for our masculine and for our feminine. To start off with, I'm going to invite us to move and groove. It's about a 5-minute song. It's called Millions of Us, and it's part one. So there's a few parts to the whole thing. It comes off of the album Millions of Us, and the artist's name is called BCUC. Happened to see them at the folk festival in Calgary this summer and have madly fallen in love with them. It's a very particular energy, so I hope you appreciate it as much as I do. Okay, I'll pop the song into the chat feature in case you are curious about it later on. And without further ado, I'm going to invite you to hop on up, move and groove, chair dance, imagination dance, whatever is floating your boat for today.
Shining day, let's anymore. Chicago.
Thank you for the dance, y'all. I'm so glad that was fun for you. Yay. Before I go on to Ashley, let me just pause and say, I think I meant to play the third part, not the first part. I mix them up all the time. And honestly, they're all pretty amazing. So if you feel drawn to them, feel free to check them out. They've got a couple of albums out, so you may find some other favorites there for you. Okay. My computer is making that background noise again, it sounds like. And if it's bothersome at all, just let me know and I will pop on in those headphones and that should get rid of it. And I might actually need to hit a Boxing Day sale now. Black Friday is gone. So you might see a new computer enter the scene. We'll see. I wasn't on top of it enough for Cyber Monday sales this year. But without further ado, I'm going to invite us to get comfy cozy. Now that we've given your body a chance to move and groove, we've welcomed anger here spontaneously. So whatever is arising or releasing, feel free to just honor that with your breath. Every inhale, an opportunity to call in. To receive, to drink in life, and every exhale, an opportunity to release, to let go, to make space. And every breath, an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. And if any part of that is pleasant and neutral, taking time to savor it, to be with it, and to really appreciate it, almost like you would a piece of really yummy food. And then I'm going to invite you on purpose to notice anything in particular, either internally or externally, maybe there's no difference, to locate something in particular that's also pleasant to neutral. And Letting all your senses go for a little bit of walk around the room. And wherever they land, whatever they pause upon, the invitation is to notice what it is you like the most about that thing. Maybe it reminds you of something. Maybe it has a particular shape, color, size. Maybe it's the way the light, the shadow, play with it, or the space that it creates. Or maybe it's the space, the negative space that's surrounding it. And the invitation is to continue to notice those things, to drink them in, and to savor them, much like that piece of fine chocolate. You might let it like melt in your mouth to really thoroughly enjoy it, or whatever the equivalent of that is with whatever it is you're appreciating in this moment. Noticing as well how the body responds as you savor, as you appreciate. And if the body's response to what you're drinking in is also pleasant, neutral in some way, then savoring that too, drinking that in as well. And to be really clear, the body might have a wide variety of things going on. We're just noticing in particular the pleasant things. And in this way, we actually begin to retrain our brains, which are programmed for survival, to keep you alive, to notice what's wrong, what's hurting, what's lacking. And we're retraining it to actually notice the beauty, the abundance, to notice the plentitude of things that are actually really awesome, pleasant, useful, or just simply neutral to be with. And as you continue to drink that all in, I'm going to offer these words. Thank you for the opportunity to gather here today. And thank you for all that's gone into this sweet moment of connection. The deepest of thank yous to those that have caretaken and stewarded these lands that have nourished not just us, but your families, your ancestors, your lineage, and those yet to even arrive. Will continue to benefit from that nourishment. And on that note, thank you to your family, thank you to your ancestors, and thank you to that lineage that has held all of you. It's said that our body is nothing more than 7 generations, well, they've scientifically proven 5, body talks as 7 generations of ancestral energies. That includes the wisdoms, the challenges, all of it. So thank you for the capacity to just simply exist in this form, in these ways. And then, I'll also add this on. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for being you. And thank you to being here today. You belong here. Thank you for being here. Thank you to the earth that holds us, the sky above, giving us space, and the waters and the fire that pour through us. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Om. Shanti, shanti, shanti. Peace, peace. Okay, the image that I have for this session so far is of gears grinding, and like not just like a little, but like really thick, sludgy, grinding energy. It's hanging out just to the right of the midline, meaning it's actually going, and in those locations in the body, it's the outer edges that tend to carry the more like this lifetime, the more recent history. the closer to the midline we go, the closer to the ancestral realms, the closer to the realms of our history in terms of generations past. This is just to the right of that midline, so it's going back a fair ways in history. And this is on the masculine side. So this is, regardless of actually being in a male or a female body, this is just working with the masculine nature overall, which is all about activity, producing results, making things happen. And as we mentioned earlier, or as I mentioned earlier, that anger is that, like, permission slip to actually express emotions for most testosterone-laden beings. And that even includes your own inner masculine nature. Yeah. So here, as we work with these gear grindings, in the space of the gears and what seems to be causing the grinding, the image that I have here again is of this thick stuff. It's like oil that got dried up. So it's no longer fluid. There is, in fact, the opposite of fluidity. There's rigidity. There's a sense of, in essence, this can't move, which is creating a perpetual need for anger to be there to create movement and momentum. So it's this, like, self-fulfilling prophecy. It's become a bit of a loop. And interestingly enough, this might feel a little left field at first, we're first bringing in the consciousness of Shizandra berry, which has a very high vitamin C content, just as a fun fact. But it helps to interrupt loops. It helps to interrupt, like, looping thoughts, looping patterns. So we're just interjecting that here just to almost, like, drive a little bit of a wedge into this cycle that's been self-perpetuating for generations upon generations upon generations, likely a lot more than seven. And as we work with it, we're also doing an emotional release, just straight up overwhelm. That's creating almost like a freeze. That's why the gears aren't moving in the image that I'm seeing. And it's like frozen anger that's lost its capacity to be fluid, to move. And it's here, again, based on that sense of emotional overwhelm. And it looks specifically overwhelmed from abuse, whether that be physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, relational, or anything in between. And again, this is going into history, so this might not be a this lifetime thing, but it might explain some challenging situations or abusive situations even that you faced in this lifetime. And amongst that is also what feels like a hovering threat of death, but also feeling too paralyzed to be able to move to do anything about it. Okay, and this is actually going into a specific ancestor on the male side now, on dad's side. We're going back six generations. And we're working with someone who is quite suicidal, and not their fault. It actually relates to their own birth history and a feeling like they couldn't firmly attach to the uterine lining. And it was like this similar, like, frozen, sticky spot. They couldn't quite get to the nourishment that they wanted. And they actually felt deeply suicidal because of that later on in their years. And there was this, like, chronic looming imprint of, I need this to end. And it actually created, like, constant, catastrophic, even at times, disastrous endings. So they self-fulfilled that prophecy and attracted ending upon ending upon ending upon ending upon ending. So things never really worked out. And they just couldn't quite get the traction that they wanted. It was compounded by a second thing in the womb space for this particular ancestor. And this is also showing up in your lifetime, in your womb space, or this womb space that you inhabited in. And there was something that came down the pipes where you internalized mom's nausea or sickness around that 4 to 8 week mark, somewhere in that second month of pregnancy, of gestation. And there was this like, oh gosh, I must be responsible for mom, this human that's here attached to me. Not that you quite had that understanding in those words just yet. And being under the weather, being sick. So again, there is this self-fulfilling prophecy, maybe this whole theme of the session, I'm sure we'll find out, around I make you sick. And that in turn led to wanting to do a couple of things. Hide, isolate, withdraw, shut down, aka freeze, and try to protect your environment by means of collapsing, by means of freezing, by means of shutting down. And then the other piece that's intertwined in here is that it actually became internalized into your own immune system, and there was this sense of, I should just be sick. So there might be times in which, and you might not be like always sick by any stretch of the imagination, there might be just times where you're dealing with challenges that the immune system represents on a consciousness level. You might be prone to greater inflammation, you might be prone to experiences around rejection, you might be prone to just excess mast cell activation, to be a little bit biological and geeky here, meaning there's just excessive histamine running in your system, and stress tends to lead to those responses. And overall, it's just creating like this chronic stress in the system, in the body mind, and a chronic level of depletion of vitality related to that all. And relating to that, there's a sense of, I don't have what it takes, so I'm helpless and I'm not able to proceed, and I'm going to be stuck here. Okay. So I'm seeing skeleton upon skeleton upon skeleton float through my vision here, my subtle vision. I've got it's hard to explain all of them, so I won't do it justice, but there's like three or four different overlapping images simultaneously of different skeletons and heads and bones, and amongst that, one of them is that of the Hindu goddess Kali. And she's thought to wear a necklace of heads. She's thought to be the goddess of death and birth. And she's often touted as being destructive in that vein. She just actually loves you so darn much. She's willing to kill anything that's in the way of your clear path ahead. And she's willing to support that rebirth energy on the other side of it all. She just doesn't get that part mentioned very often. I feel like Holly's very misunderstood at times in our current culture. And she's certainly not afraid to, kill, devour, drink blood. In all of the images that we see, there's often like a really long tongue that has like blood dripping off of it. In this case, it's actually linking right into your bloodstream and helping anything that's in that bloodstream, that's in your very blood cells, in particular the red blood cells, but the white are in here to an extent as well, to be devoured. So as we optimize your blood with the energetics of Kali, we're also going to run a cellular repair in it, restoring your cells back to their fullest potential of health. And it's as if we're giving the blood a chance to be, essentially go through a death and rebirth cycle to be regenerated. And then we're extending that back all the way to those six generations to helpfully support that ancestor. Okay, and with that, the skeletons have like slowed their roll. They're not quite as spicy, and they're chilling out some. Okay, but they're still there. They're just not as actively swirling, and the layers are starting to coalesce now. And now it's showing the deep desire for surrender. Releasing, letting go, making space. Another word here is simply allowing what is to be as it is. We could call that acceptance. Whichever one of those words provides more of a doorway for you, please use that concept. I might sum them all up with the energetic consciousness of dissolution. And as I see that image of the skeletons again, it's actually like getting pixelated, like they're starting to fragment and dissolve, and the the surrender that they are asking for is starting to make itself known. The dissolution process is underway, in other words. And then we're linking that into the connective tissue, the fascia. And it's like that is the area of the body that's holding on. And there's spaces, excuse me, in between the cells, the interstitial regions, that are actually releasing, that are actually becoming more fluid. And this is happening in those spaces, like I mentioned, between the cells. And there's a lot of microbes that hang out here. So we're actually going to run a body chemistry to optimize the microbial balance point here. And then it's linking into a full spinal balancing. Gosh, I haven't seen one of these come up for a second. We're balancing. I know I think we did it last week too, but it feels like we went through like a long spell without this popping up. As we support it, the each little vertebrae is going to pair with its partner, topmost with bottommost, opposite sides, as well as same-sidedness. So we're going to do it in all the directions, in all the ways. And we're also including that base of the spine, the sacrum and the tailbone, which goes and links all the way up to the skull bones. And we're unwinding a fair amount of connective tissue adhesions around the tailbone. And within that, there's this energy that birth creates destruction. Birth creates depletion. And this is tapping into the consciousness, whether or not you've actually given birth, that exists in our current modern day world around how it is we view birth. And within this, working with a fair amount of held anger that's creating, again, this belief that birth creates destruction. And it's actually releasing this idea that within this, that men need to control women and the power that they have in their bodies to give birth. And that's relating as well, linking into this idea that mankind as a whole needs to fear the existence of being here on Earth and again control it or find ways to manage it and use anger in a way that actually is being very willfully controlled and creating domination, which is some, I don't know why I'm getting biblical, but brace yourself for a little bit of a segue into the Bible. It's often misunderstood that that humans are granted dominion over the earth, which has nothing to do with meaning that you get to, you know, hold any sort of dominant energy over any other being here. It's actually relating to your relationship to your body, the earth of this clay that has made you. Meaning you're actually meant to not live in suffering of your body. You're not meant to hold on to the challenges of the ancestors for ages. You're meant to go through that journey that they have offered you and to transcend that, or at least you have the option to do that. But our world is often confused about those dynamics. Okay, I'm gonna segue out of the Bible again. Give that slow, deep breath. Let that go. I know for many that can be jarring territory, and for others that might be your sweet spot. So, I think that the Bible has all sorts of energies within it, and there's some beautiful passages in there as well. As often, a lot of misinterpretations and misunderstandings within it. So, I'm gonna digress for now. And as we work with this all, we're actually linking it into, and I'm not clear where this is going just yet, a sense of I can't and I will not. And a sense of using those energies at times in a good way, but other times detrimentally. If I could sum it all up, I'm going to call it the consciousness of stubbornness. And it's actually interwoven all throughout the left side of the body. And it's on the outer edge, right where that gallbladder meridian runs, which is meant to also, that outer edge of the body is meant to carry energy of stability. And that willful control can be used in a good way to basically hold your own, to stand up against anybody else in this world, the ideologies that are present, the culture, the traditions that you've inherited, around your habitual patterns of how it is you emote, how you exist, how you live your life, how it is you have beliefs that are patterned, and being able to find, again, like your own way through that all. And then there comes a point where that too is meant to be surrendered to the will of that which is greater than us, the control of that which is greater than us. And it's actually going into memories around age two. It's relating to the time frame in which you were starting to be potty trained, whether that happened around two or three for some of you. And again, working with that stubborn energy of like, I can't, I will not. I have a need, I'm going to honor it. This is what I want to do, and this is what I'm going to do. And sometimes that can shoot us in the foot. And sometimes we need that energy to be available. So it's bringing in the discernment of when to work with that and when it needs to be present and when it gets to be surrendered. To support the disturbance, we're bringing in the energy of the small intestine. The small intestine meridian is connected to the planetary energy, I believe, of Mercury. I'm just going to verify that real quick. Yes, indeed. Okay. And here we're actually working with the intellect, as Mercury rules curiosity. It's, like I mentioned earlier, it's in a bit of a retrograde right now. So we're actually supporting it and doing what it's meant to do best in retrograde, which is to slow down, to review, to revisit. And in particular, it's bringing in the consciousness of scarcity, or this idea that I don't have enough, that I can't, that I won't be able to. And here we're just simply unwinding those tension patterns around scarcity. And it's literally coming almost like a spiral all the way through the small intestine, along with its meridian. And as we begin to unwind that all, it actually begins to uncover the intellect, the awareness, the discernment in a good way to supportively allow for you to reorient to your natural birthright of abundance in this world. You don't need to be stuck here, is the permissions that we're going to run with this. You don't need to be stuck here. And it's releasing a as well a moment in which you thought you were quite stuck in the birth canal and you couldn't advance, and it was like there was no way to even move back or forward. There was just this like tension and stuckness. And we could like just freeze frame that and give that its own little mini body talk session. It's actually going into the blood. And there is this anchor coursing through the veins, the arteries, the capillaries, going like, if I just exert, if I just try harder, if I just work more, I'll be able to get through this. And then something shifted. And then there was movement. And it began to get coupled with this idea of I have to work like really hard for anything to give way, for me to get to where I want to go, for the path to clear again, for me to get where I want to go and to have what I want when I get there. As well as I have to work so very hard to just get through stressful situations and finally have a moment of peace. And in that moment of peace, I still have to advance and I have to work. So it's not really a rest. And underneath that, the belief system at the seat of this that's coalesced. It's just simply, I always have to be on, working in go mode, or else, or else. Okay. And that might not be in every dimension of life. It might be more in one than another, or you may notice it fairly prevalently, depending upon that all. And this might sound a little left field, but it can also relate to what day you were born on. So if you can look up your birth date, and you can look up what day you were born on, and every day has a different consciousness to it. Saturday is the Saturn rule day. And it's the if you're born on a Saturday, you tend to be prone to thinking that life has to be very struggly, very hard, and you have to work like a maniac. Yeah, and you might face a lot of limitations in that journey. And you may actually be very practical and develop really realistic expectations. You might be really responsible and organized in order to accomplish that all. And that in turn, that whole dynamic creates a particular route to wisdom in its own right. And that may happen at some point during that dynamic or nearing the end when there's actually space to surrender that dynamic, to simply allow things to be in a different way, in a different rhythm, in a different pattern. And if you happen to notice any tension in your body, some of you might have it, where I'm feeling it in my body right now is more on the outer edge of the right side. You might have it in a different location. I can even feel some of it going back into my right kidney and down the back of my right leg in the middle through that bladder meridian region. Wherever you notice tension in your system right now, I'm going to invite you on purpose to willfully, using your will in a good way, match that tension so you can actually speak the tension in your body's language and meet it exactly in the expression that it's trying to, well, convey itself. It's like when we go to France, we'll probably do our best to, speak a little French or Spain, Spanish. You get the idea. So in the country that you land yourself in, the territory of this body, we're going to speak its languaging. And as you meet its language, as you meet its language, by contracting it willfully on purpose, you're gonna also let your body know, like, hey, I've got this. I'm gonna do this for you so you don't have to. I'm gonna do this for you so you don't have to. I'm branching into this is from Hakomi. It's called a takeover, in case you're curious. This isn't really a body talk thing, just so we're really clear. And as you willfully engage those areas of your body, so your body doesn't have to, there might create room or space or a shift or something different might happen. Watch and see what occurs for you. Be really curious here as it relates to this specific practice. There's likely a lot of things going on in the body, but slowing down to notice just this part. And if the body has any particular movements that seem to be happening spontaneously, or there's a sense of something wants to happen, feel free to let those impulses come on through to move and groove exactly how they're meant to. Now we're linking that into the 12th house, house of the liver, which rules our muscles. And here we're bringing in the natural planetary energy that hangs out here, that of Neptune, which is about, there's a couple planets, but this is the one that we're working with, which is all about inspiration, about expansion. It can also create a dynamic of control and manipulation or guilt that goes along with it all. In essence, this is just helping the system to decompress a little bit. And that decompression, there may actually be a new awareness or insight or inspiration or spontaneous, like we were saying, movements. And with this, we're now doing an emotional release of irritability, irritation in particular, through that right side and any other areas of tension that you are present to in your bodies. And those might be different from that right side stuff. You might be noticing other things in other locations. But we're definitely doing all things right side. In addition to that, any other areas that you're noticing that tension. And then we're linking to the left upper chamber of the heart, to the left atrium. And we're connecting it, even though it's deeply connected to the element of fire, for some reason we're bringing in a connection to that of the water elements. Tapping into the emotional pieces that the water can carry, along with the consciousness of those emotions that water also carries. And here we're helping any frozen shutdown areas to become more fluid as we release any emotional stagnancy as it relates to anger. This is the anger of simultaneously betrayal, abandonment, as well as neglect. And it's like this pain that you hold really close to your chest. Betrayal, abandonment, neglect. And with that, releasing rage of feeling like they didn't care enough to understand you deeply enough. Whoever they are, maybe that's caregivers, maybe that's partners, maybe that's somebody in between. And here we're just simply running the permissions. You deserve to be taken care of. You deserve to be taken care of. Then we're running one more cell repair. This is also inherited through the maternal line. So we're going back five generations through mom's side. And it's actually on the spiritual sense. And it's actually a spiritual disconnection, which felt like betrayal, abandonment, neglect. So rage against source, creator, spirit, God, whatever you call that. And this too is linking into all things 12th house. And here we're running hydration, helping the cells take in water and joy, releasing any impurities. Okay, loves. As we tap this part out, I'm going to invite you to breathe, to receive however feels right for you. Breathing here. Then we're heading into the low back. And here we're unhooking the beliefs around inadequacy or related to scarcity. And then we're just simply running the permissions. I am enough. Pardon me, I stand corrected. I am more than enough. I am more than enough. And as you claim your enoughness, I actually see a deep surrender of portions of the ego that were getting in the way of allowing for the fullest expression of ease to come through, of life, of love to come through you. And I see this posture of bowing, child's pose, head, forehead specifically to earth. And I see this energy field surrounding it all. It's like a halo, but it's around the heart. And I don't know very much about angels. I don't really study the angels. I don't got much in that department. I know a little here and there, but not much. And the consciousness here is of the angelic realm, which may or may not tap into a specific angel. It might just be like the consciousness purely of angelicness. And it's like this deep bowing to that which is greater than you, whatever your word for is that. And the song of the spheres, which might sound like the song of the angels, is here. It has its own specific tune. And if we're really still, we can actually hear the sound of spirits of the beyond. And it's like there's this deep surrender into that consciousness. And it's supporting a deep letting go of those times in which your family told you that you were insufficient, in times when you thought you weren't enough, in times in which that scarcity mindset, energy was rich. And it may have shown up even in your relationships and having the concerns around others and their adequacies, capacities, their paths in life. Whether that was your partners, your parents, or anyone in between, or around at all. Which led to this desire to caregive, to manage them so they wouldn't suffer. Which often comes at the cost of, or carries the consequence, of us not necessarily getting the attention, the rest, the energy that we need. And here we're unhooking the pattern of collapsing your own needs in favor of another's. And that has become its own self-fulfilling prophecy of inadequacy. I'm going to prove to all these other people that I can caretake them and not be inadequate. And a desire to prove that has actually created inadequate resources inside of you. And there's a depletion. And I do feel like, in some senses, the mirror image of depletion, and not exactly like an opposite per se, but in a way of thinking about it, like the in a particular way, the mirror image of depletion might just be that of dissolution. Of allowing that to all, that whole dynamic, to just simply fade away, melting like butter. As it does so, bringing in a new layer of nourishment. And as we actually dissolve it by means of connecting it through to the metal element, which helps with dissolution, we're bringing in new energy. We're bringing in the energy of the earth, particularly that Schumann resonance. I see it coming right in through the very center, through the very core, which carries the energy of trust, which carries the energy of surrender in its own way, into trusting whatever's unfolding gets to just simply be here, which unfolds into my existence, my earth, my body, my presence. They all get to be trusted, surrendered into, and be seen as enough, be seen as safe enough. Nothing that you need to prove. And we're just simply running those permissions here. And the words again are just, there's nothing you need to prove. There's nothing you need to prove here. Which might also go hand in hand with, that means there's also nothing you need to save in others or yourself. Breathing here, receiving here. And with this, I feel that tailbone finally relaxing, surrendering, releasing. Those gears are grinding, and, well, pardon me, not grinding, they're fluidly moving, and those grinding parts are also beginning to, like, grit, to release, as that grit is no longer needing to be here to draw your attention, your awareness to what's here. With that, I'm also taking, it feels like a bit of a risk with this song, but it seems to fit in alignment with all that we've uncovered in this session. I actually had a totally different song picked out, but I'm going to go to this one. It's from, I think the album's called Dragon Rider. It's by, oh, I cannot say the artist's name very well, Kalesh Kopeli, and the song name is Kunkum. It's about 4 minutes in length. I'm going to invite you to either hold still, breathe, receive the song, touching on that resource if you feel called to, or if you wish, feel free to move with this one too. Breathing here, receiving here, in any way that feels right for you.
The dust of the earth upon your forehead is the crown you have been looking for your whole life. Come to me. There is your home. And the dust of the earth upon your forehead is the crown you have been searching for. The dust of the earth. The dust of the earth.
Yeah, 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 y
Thank you for the opportunity to gather here today. And thank you for being you, exactly as you are. Mwah. Om Shanti, 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 peace, peace, peace. Blessings on the rest of your day, your week ahead. And you're most welcome, everybody. I'm glad you liked the song. Yay. Sometimes when I step a little far out of the box or a little further out of the box than I have before, I have a question mark, so I appreciate the validation there. And yeah, you're most welcome, everybody. Have yourselves a beautiful rest of your day. Bye for now, y'all. I'm going to stop the recording here. I'm still answering messages in the chat feature. There was a few that came through, so bear with me on that. And you are welcome to stick around if there's anything in particular that you would like support with around that all, or, well, around the session today. Okay, thank you all. Ooh, last thing, my gosh. Next week, I had a time change last minute. I'm so sorry about that. It's gonna be an hour earlier. It was supposed to be at 9 a.m. Mountain Time, and next week it's going to be at 8 a.m. Mountain Time due to travel reasons on my part. I'll be coming at you from another city that day. So, 8 a.m. Mountain Time, which will be 7 a.m. for those of you on the West Coast. My apologies for that being very early. Feel free to catch the recording if that's like just a no-go that day, and support yourselves in getting the rest and the nourishment that you need. Okay, my loves? I can officially say goodbye now. Okay, we'll see you next week. Bye for now, y'all.